So, I want to bring you to where he brought me this week in the past couple of days. I was in my room downstairs in my office, and he had spoken the word, and you know, sometimes your brain is just not connected. Well, it wasn't connected. And I heard Zechariah chapter 4. And I'm thinking, wow, Zechariah. My brain was just not connected to the word at all. And, well, where is that in the Bible? My brain is, like I said, fried, or other things were on my mind. So I finally, of course, got my Bible and went to Zechariah chapter 4. So I will take you there with me for a moment. Verse 1 says, "The angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl on the top and the seven lights on it, with seven channels to the light. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.' I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And he answered, 'Do you not know what these are?' 'No, my Lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become like level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it, or grace, grace to it in the Amplified.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hand of Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of this temple. His hand will also complete it.'" Now, here in Zechariah's day, they're talking about the natural temple in Jerusalem. I believe the Lord today is speaking about you and I as the temple of God. And that we are being what? Being finished or being completed. And that's kind of what he was pressing in. "Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice and they will see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Now, the plumb line represents a straight and narrow directive that he wants to put, I believe, in the body of Christ. And he wants you and I to discern correctly. And that plumb line will cause us to adjust. And if you can't adjust according to God's plan, sometimes you can know God's perfect plan for something, but that doesn't mean you have the willingness to change it or the willingness to want to change it. The one that can do this is the Holy Spirit. And you need to be able to do like this, you know, man of God says, "I don't understand." You know, he's not afraid to tell the angel, "Look, I'm not catching it." And that is an example that I believe he wants us to acknowledge. When we don't have it, don't be afraid to say, "I don't have it. I don't have the capacity. I don't have the desire. I know you've got a plan for my life, but, you know, it's heading in this direction and I don't want to go there, or I don't want to be that part." He will create what needs to be created in all of us, as he had already placed in us not only the abilities by his spirit. We in our natural minds sometimes say, "I don't want to do this." Anybody relate? The don't want to is part of who? Is it your spirit man or is it your
flesh?
Yeah. "I don't want to do this. I don't like it. It's no fun." Well, there's a lot of places in God's word, which I was sharing with you guys this morning, about St. Paul. I mean, do you think he wanted to get on that ship when he had already owned, you know, in the book of Acts, the owner was warned by St. Paul, "This is not a good time to leave. They're storming." Because that's what I'm thinking about, the storm today. Yet, I had to press to go and to do when the confirming word said, by noontime, everything is going to be different. So, okay, Lord. So I'm going to trust you, or am I going to go according to my brain? As I'm driving, you know, St. Paul had already warned the owner of the ship, don't go. But did he go anyway? So now Paul is watching the boat being broken. And he says, it's time to what? Anybody know what he was trying to tell him?
Get off. Is that when they...
St. Paul says it's time to take Holy Communion. And these are unbelievers. Does that give you a clue? He said, you have taken no nourishment. And what did he do? He broke bread and he gave it to them. What was he doing? He was telling them, this is the answer. Sometimes religious people say, oh, you're overdoing. You're taking communion every time you turn around. I take it every day. On not a ritualistic, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will wake me up. Okay, it's time to take, you know, and I'll get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Yesterday, I think it was 5 o'clock. Whatever he tells me, I try to do what he tells me in obedience. Okay? St. Paul did it in obedience. What was the actual result for the owner of that ship? The ship was totally lost.
No lives lost.
Not one life was lost. Now, he had obeyed, and who came and bit him?
The adder.
Yeah. Why? Because he?
Okay.
All right. Now he's thinking, I'm going to die.
No, he just kicked it off into the fire.
But the bottom line is, those around him, where are their minds?
They thought he was a murderer.
There you go. So, you see, but even... You know, even when Paul got bit, do we know the thought that hit him? Could it have been the first thought? You're going to die. But he declared, and he did a reaction. When he did that reaction, it caused some different responses that he certainly I'm going to get more persecuted. They're expecting him to die instantly and blow up like a balloon. But he didn't. Then they think he's a god, so he goes from A to Z. Why? Yes?
Went from A to Z. They first thought he was going to die. Yep. Called him a murderer.
Yep.
But then they achieved him to godlike status to bring his pride level up to have him fall there.
Fall on one side or fall on the other. What's the difference? I believe it's Acts... Anybody remember what chapter it is? I think it's 9, but I'm not sure. I don't want you to go there. I just wanted you to have the reference point. It might be wise to look it up at another point. But it is definitely the book of Acts. And I thought it was 9, but I didn't even get to 9. Anybody go there yet?
No, it's not 9.
No?
Gail, just out of curiosity, what's 9 verse 3?
Pardon?
9 verse 3. Is that popped in?
Verse 9 what?
Chapter 9, verse 3.
Verse 3.
He came near to Damascus, so suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. This is the road to Damascus, chapter.
The road to Damascus, yeah. Okay. But it connects with the scripture that we had here, the gold lampstand. Mm. All right. So, you know, we sometimes think that St. Paul had it easy because he was a believer. He did not have it easy. He had it rough. And when, you know, we think that our obedience is going to be all peaches and cream, it's not so. So trusting and waiting upon the Holy Spirit to bring it forth. As we trust, we learn. As we rely on Him, we learn. Even through what you could call a catastrophe for St. Paul here. You know, I mean, all the ships are, broken. They make it to the edge. They survive. Even then, the test goes from A to Z, which is kind of cool. But the Holy Spirit is in charge of this life. And the Holy Spirit's in charge of our lives. So you're going to have both sides of the tests. If He doesn't connect in one corner, He's going to connect on the other side, trying to get you to give up. And we all go there. So we, you know, it's not an accusation. It's realization. We will be tested. Now, to go back to Zechariah 4, verse 7. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then He will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, or grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hand of Zerubbabel has laid the foundation of this temple. His hand will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range throughout the earth. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? Now, verse 11 for me was important because I'm nosy. When I don't understand something, I want to know. I'm nosy. And it tells you this man is the same thing as you and me. He's nosy. He wants to understand. Verse 12, notice it's again I asked him, what are these two olive branches? Now notice he talks about trees, then it's a branch. What's the difference? He sees two trees, but now he's talking about these two are olive branches besides the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil. He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, he said. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Why does he call them branches? Why does he call them branches?
Because they're extensions of the main body.
Yeah. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, I pray for these, but I also have what? Down the road, there's going to be another group that are like these. Could those be the branches?
Oh, yeah.
These that have been developed as apostles. They were 12 in number, right? There was 11 because one left, but they issued another one. Those men were so anointed of the Lord that they changed the natural realm of that world without a television, without a cell phone, without a radio.
Without a printing press.
Thank you. Now we have all these tools. Are we different than the first branch? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. So are we being spoken to here? Is this about us? Two, one previous, one now. To do what kind of work? To go from natural to spirit. To do the work that He ordained before we were put together in our mother's womb. He knew all of us by name. He prepared us. He gave us the right name. We may not agree with it, but He did. And what He'll do with us down the road will be awesome. Gail, you're pondering deep.
I'm just going over this, asking the Lord to go in deeper.
Remember the gold lampstand? When I was sharing with the girls a little earlier, yesterday I happened to listen to Jim Baker's program in, I think it's Missouri that he's in, Branson, Missouri. And Jonathan Kahn was on two of the programs that I listened to yesterday. And he gave a kind of a neat little gift, a gift of revelation that I think pertains to us as we go forth in obedience. He pointed out that old Israel, the Star of David was the insignia. And now, he said, the menorah is what's for today. And I realized that I had been studying this for 2 days, and I said, Lord, you're not doing this by accident.
But I don't see it prevalent in anything that's coming through.
It's not time yet. It's not time yet. All that we're seeing is a lot of the false prophecies, false prophets, false anointed teachers and preachers. I can remember studying a gentleman that I totally respect who's gone to be with the Lord. His comment was, the majority of the books that are out there for Christianity are fiction. Fiction. And I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm just saying it sells very well. It brings a lot of money to a lot of people. Do they know what they're actually doing? I would say totally not. It is putting the Christians to sleep. And one of the things that Jonathan Kahn brought out yesterday, as he was closing the service, he had the 7-lamp menorah, and he pointed out, he said, there's one that has 9 lights. That's not God. Revelation chapter 1 or 2, I believe, is where it talks about the 7 churches. Mm-hmm. All right?
120.
Huh?
120, Revelation 120.
Okay, 120. Revelation 120 speaks of that. And he pointed out as he was lighting the entire, he was praying the Jewish prayer. He did it in Hebrew and then he did it in English. And the anointing, I could feel the anointing just over the internet, okay? You say, well, why? God uses everything. He's not limited to anything. He's not limited to this word. He is the living word. He's the living word in each of us. So my press to you today is to continue in obedience to the Lord as he continues to reveal what he wants from each and every one of you, and to be aware your intercession may not, let's say, seem to be doing anything. Did you ever pray and pray and seemingly I'm not getting anywhere, there's no progress? It's like my grandson got upset with his wife because she was stuck in her driveway and she spun the tires so much that she wore one of them bad, and he got quite upset. He said, Pep, why is it that, and of course women are the problem, he said, why isn't that she had to push so hard on that accelerator and just dig herself in when she could have just slowed down, rocked the baby just a little? And of course he got stuck, right? And so we had to rock 3 times before we finally met. He says, you're not progressing anything when the smoke is coming up and you're forming ice underneath. Mm-hmm. He said, how come they can't figure that out? I said, they need a mind of men. Oh, he said, that's the problem. And so we both laughed because he knew darn well I was teasing him. So what am I saying? God is in charge. When we panic, what do? We do more of the same. When we calm down and we wait for the instructions, we do something different and we get out of the mud pile or snow pile or whatever.
I was looking back because I remembered you had a vision of a menorah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Jo had one. That was back, I think.
Back away.
Well, it was the end, it was February 3rd.
Was
okay,
it?
That's not far.
Oh, I thought it was back further than that.
And hers, well, I think, yeah, it was, because that was back in what we were having, the feast, I think. Remember she brought
Yes, in. Yes.
This one, she said, the menorah was on top of the bread. All the candles were lit except one on the end.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the, it's not
signal.
Time yet.
Yeah.
But it's not time yet.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
That's cool. That is cool. Because, see, that was back at the feast that she had that photograph.
Right.
And we did put it somewhere. I forgot
it's
where.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's up there on
the menorah's up there, but not the
no,
picture.
The picture's
yeah, the
picture
there, too.
Oh, okay.
Can we get it?
No. No,
yeah.
No, it's all right.
Yeah, behind the
chimes.
Chimes.
Behind the chimes, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, one of the concepts that he pointed out was that Hanukkah is really telling us about our future. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the one Gail saw, all the candles were lit. And you saw an Olive Press.
Yeah. But
the Olive Press
was...
The
one I saw the other day
was
the size.
Huh?
The one I saw...
Huge.
I stood up because it was so big.
Right.
It was huge.
Right. Well, the one that was in the temple was big.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me, because they needed it for light.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have a big one.
And it was only... And when the Maccabees finally stood against the Romans and the Greeks were actually the one that invaded and brought a pig inside of the temple. See, that spells unclean. Okay? When an unclean spirit is inside of us, what happens?
Chaos.
Huh? What else does it say? Chaos is right, but what is the offering that you're offering back to God?
You're not going to have a pure offering. It's off. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
No. See, I think what happens is this. When we are in transition, and some of us have been in transition for years and years, and we're thinking we're already almost there. Well, we're not there yet. Admit that you're not there. Admit that you don't have it. And if there's some unclean stuff that needs to come out to restore us, we're the next temple. The corporate temple is coming to life. But the individual temples is what he has to work on first. Okay? And, you know, when he was bringing out about all the different things that they did to the temple, they took out the lampstand. They just destroyed it, okay? Or whatever, took it apart. I don't know all of how that works. But he said when the Maccabees got to resist, because they said, we're not going any further. The Antichrist spirit was so strong in that day that everything that was normal was being turned around, and the Jews were so complacent. And he compared them to the Germans and World War II. The Germans were told nothing about what was happening to the Jews. Some of them lived within a few miles of those crematoriums and had no idea or refused to even think about it.
They must have got a smell.
Some did, some didn't. Okay? And I remember just a few weeks ago, one of the guys that did Schindler's List, the director, he did a new piece of information.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, he was on. And they were working on another film that they've been... And he said, I know, when I did Schindler's List, that this was God working through me. Well, that's quite a statement. Then he pointed out, he said, the biggest irritation about the new film is when the Eisenhower and all of his men went into Germany and they saw what was going on, they forced the elite group, the brown shirts, I think they were called.
And they had to walk through it.
They had to carry those bodies because they were just not aware of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were in such a mental blocked space.
Mm-hmm.
if you wish. That's called those temples with what? The Antichrist ruling in them. Because they wanted every Jew out of the way so that the Antichrist is trying to stop the Christ from coming. What happened the first time when he came? How many babies were killed? That should give you a clue. We're living in an age where everything is being turned upside down. Truth is being made into a lie. Lies are being made into popular demand. It's wonderful. Just do whatever you want. Well, doing whatever you want is certainly has to be formed on the inside. I have people that have come to me and said, well, you know, we should direct them. If we can't direct them by our example, we can talk all the way to the barnyard, and they're not going to hear. So you give them the freedom and let the Holy Spirit start cleaning them up. The Holy Ghost will clean up a house, believe me. The Holy Spirit will clean you and me. And that's the bottom line. And at one time, I would have believed that using the law was something that you could use. But I've also seen what it does. The damage is so deep, they never come back to the Lord, many of them. And I can remember sitting down with some people that I could see, oh my God, if they could only know. And the Lord said, when are you going to trust me instead of trusting your laws and your rules and your regulations? I saw what happened. And I experienced the fruit of that. And I said, I never want to go back to that. Okay. So if you close your eyes and lift your hands to him, say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
In a deeper way today.
Clean everything out of me.
Anything unclean.
I want it out. I don't know how you're going to do it. But
I'm not the author.
I'm not the Alpha.
I'm not the Omega.
You are the Alpha.
You've started a work in me.
And I'm expecting
By faith,
for you to finish it. And I'll go along for the ride. And as you teach and counsel me,
I will then understand
that when this temple is totally yours,
every one of those seven lights
of your Holy Spirit,
and the seven churches will radiate
right through me. And touch
and
illuminate
those that are in darkness.
It might irritate a few bugs.
But it definitely will be you
that will be in the control room.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.